Hey folks, Troy Dooley, the Beachside CEO. Hope you guys are rocking it today. This is episode 875. And I'll tell you, I just blow my mind because one of these days we're going to hit 900, then we're going to hit 1,000. We don't do it as fast as we used to. Those that have been around for a while know that we launched this as a daily podcast. Since then, we've kind of morphed with the times, and I'm excited about that. Also excited about Nineline. If you don't know about Nineline, they are one of the nation's, if not the nation's largest, veteran-owned, most well-known apparel company. They also own a sister company, Black Rifle Coffee. You can see that over in Bass Pro and now in some of their standalone locations. So I'm proud to wear their shirts. I spend an extra dollar, get American-made. And I've got their subscription, so every month, literally, I get a new t-shirt, and you can get a pair of socks. It's kind of pretty cool, but I love supporting them, love supporting their mission, love the fact that I can show my patriotism. And remember, patriotism is not partisanship, okay, or vice versa. It doesn't have anything to do with politics. It has to do with your love for your country, the love for the people in the country. Keep that in mind. I don't want to rabbit trail on that. We've done other podcasts on patriotism. What I want to look at today is what do anti-mega church critics and anti-MLMers or network marketing, what do they have in common? And should you care? If you're a Christian, if you're a Main Street entrepreneur, if you're in direct sales, MLM, if you're an affiliate marketer, whatever the case is, why should you care when there's critics coming at you? If you're in a church or what's classified a mega church, anyone that has more than, I think, 2,000 members in it, why should you care what critics say? That's the question. Do they matter? Should you care? Should you engage? That's what I want to look at. And the very first question is, do critics have a true argument? It doesn't matter if it's in business, if it's directed at this MLM, which you may say, Troy, why are you picking those two? Here's why. For decades, MLM and the church community, not just Christian, but church as a whole, they're both volunteer people. One, you follow a charismatic leader telling you about Jesus, telling you about Muhammad, telling you about somebody, and you follow them. We see this both in church and cults, okay? Go to the MLM or the what's known as network marketing side of it. Same type of principle. A volunteer army, they get paid, but the same, they're following somebody that's charismatic. They're following somebody that's on a mission. And a lot of the times it has personal development, and where they connect is using the same type of persuasion. Critics will call it manipulation. To get you to do what they want you to do, to isolate you against the them and the we. However, what I found is critics do the same thing. The critics that are out there, even the ones that I set back and say, man, that's legit, they've got some good stuff they're talking about, is trying to create the me against them model. And when you look at this and you look at the largest trending stuff on social media today, which is the MLMers, you've got 700, almost 800,000 anti-MLMers over on Reddit, on YouTube. You've got this giant startup, and these people are YouTubers that are well-known inside of the Christian circles in their own niches. And we could go into the niche of Christianity just like we go into the companies or the niches of MLM. And they get these large gatherings of people that are watching what they do. So there's a lot of commonalities between anti-MLMers, MLMers, anti-megachurch people, megachurch pastors, and those that are drawn into the megachurch community. So I wanted to look at this today because I see some coalition here or connections here. And here's what I'm also seeing. I'm also seeing people that engage with these critics that are defending the undefendable. I mean, there's an indefensibility to certain things that are there. And instead of looking at the critical side and saying, you know, there's an ounce of truth in this, people are starting to nitpick at stuff that actually these anti-whatever, these critics actually have a point in some cases. So they have arguments, And sometimes their arguments are solid. Sometimes they're built on a house of cards, no different than some of the theology that might come out of any church, but a mega church in this case, or from a MLM proponent. Because very few direct sales companies engage with the rhetoric, engage with the hyperbole, if you will, that the field does. So I want to make that clear. So yes, they do have an argument, but you have to dig deep to find if their argument is legit. And if you're going to engage with critics, you need to engage 100% with what is defensible or what they might have gotten incorrect. And let me warn you against something. You don't go out there and tell a critic they're wrong, just like they shouldn't tell you you're wrong. Your worldview may not be the same. They may be incorrect in some things, but I doubt that they're totally wrong in what they're doing. You may not like their approach. You may think it's a wrong approach. You may think that they have their own agenda, but it's best if you're going to engage to learn how to engage in a debate. Don't engage in an argument. No one seems to ever win the arguments. Number two, do they really care about the facts? And the answer is yes, because they take and create their facts against what really happened. So they will take and look at a fact, and it could be a soundbite, or it could be one post. It could be one sermon. It could be just one little snippet out of a sermon. It could be the demise of someone. Let's use Will Smith and Chris Rock as an example here, because this way I can't offend anybody. We know that it was totally out of character for Will Smith to smack anybody. He's always posed. He's always doing things correctly, all that stuff. So when you look at one instance in a person's life, do you judge them all of their life based on that one incident? And this is what I'm talking about. Critics will take one incident and they will use that, or they will take a series of incidences, which is better, to be able to show a pattern. Regulators do the same thing on that one, but you need to look at the whole thing. When we were doing a lot of reporting on the critical side of network marketing back in about we launched 2001 and ran to about 2010. It'd been 2012 is when we really pumped that up. Here's what I did. We would listen to the complete audio or watch the complete video. I would take snippets of the complete video and I would talk about those. And then we always put the complete audio or the complete video in the actual article that we were writing so that the viewer then could see everything in context. A legitimate critic, a legitimate investigative reporter, whatever the case may be, they're not only going to talk about the soundbite, talk about the snippet, but they're going to have the footnotes. They're going to have all of the evidence that's needed to literally prove, not just anecdotal evidence, but they're going to show empirical evidence that literally points to what they're talking about. Those are the watchdogs. Those are the critics in which you should take seriously, because now they're looking at all kinds of stuff. And I've seen so many good-hearted critics. I truly believe this. I mean, from the Truth in Advertising all the way down to these people that are on Reddit and these people in YouTube. And there are some that are 100%, man. They show the footnotes. They've created what their argument is. They can defend their stance. But the majority are just popping out rhetoric, just like the people in which they are complaining about or they're criticizing. So you've got to be careful on the facts. The facts are legit, but are the facts the reality? That's the question you've got to look at. Not all facts will point conclusively to the truth. It will point to a truth, but you have to have all of the evidence. Matter of fact, I'm going to be, this is a rabbit trail. If you're in the Destin area in April 24th, I'm going to be teaching on the investigative side of Jesus. Was he a real person? You might want to check that out. If you're down here, I'll be doing that in live and in person in Pulse Church. Just want you guys to know. Number three, Do their facts point to the truth? As I said just a second ago, it can point to a truth, or it can point to the truth. If they are showing all of the evidence and they have pointed out a track record, and maybe it's a, let's use a megachurch pastor as an example here. A lot of them are called seeker sensitive. A lot of them are saying, well, they don't want to talk about hellfire and brimstone. They don't want to talk about sin and all that stuff. If you look at someone who's launched a church, they've launched these big ministries, they're cranking out, and they're not talking in that old-fashioned hellfire and brimstone, you're going to hell, yada, yada, let me tell you what the Bible says, that doesn't mean they're not Christians. That doesn't mean that they're teaching a false gospel. It means that they may be doing exactly what Jesus did and exactly what Paul the apostle did. They're talking to people on the level of the people, and they're bringing the people up. I don't have a clue because I don't care. I'm not going to one of those churches. It doesn't affect me. If it affects me, then I might get into it. Here's what I do know. I know I've watched enough of them now, and then I've watched enough of the critics who are jamming on them to know that the critics don't always get it right. And there's some of the pastors that are walking a really fine line on even biblical teaching, okay? It's more of a law of attraction, or it's more of some self-help deal. So I do understand where the critics are coming from, but not all of their truth point, or not all of their facts point to the truth. Same thing in the internet side of things with the sales and the marketing, the MLMers, the income claims, the promises. Some of it is taken out of context. And it's to do so to create the truth that the anti-MLMer is trying to create. At the same time, I can show evidence 40 years inside the direct sales industry. I can show a track record of where certain people do the same thing over and over and over. Some of these are company owners. Some of them are people that are in the field. Some facts point to the truth, but you need to do the due diligence. You do not just listen to some critic that's out there that may have a secret agenda, may have a personal vendetta, could be anything. I have found some of those in both sides. I've seen some camps in the anti-megachurch movement that are, you can, when you do the due diligence on who they are, you see that they have a very limited, a very legalistic, a very focused mindset based on their theology of Christianity, based on whether they're what's called a Calvinist or a Reformist or a Fundamentalist or a Pentecostal. Okay, you see that. Same thing in the mega MLM or in the anti-MLM movement. You see the same exact thing there. You see people that they have a personal vendetta. Some of them are selling products. I don't have a problem with them selling products out of the backside, but you need to be legit on everything you're doing. If you're going to cast stones at people, then you need to make sure your house is clean and that somebody's not going to come bringing it down upon you. But it's up to you as the viewer to do the due diligence, because if you're looking for confirmation bias, you're not going to do any due diligence. You didn't do a due diligence when you joined the megachurch. You didn't do due diligence when you joined the MLM. You're not going to do due diligence with any anti-critic because you're going to feel like they're vindicating you. They're making you feel like you do. When you read your comments, when you post something and everybody, yeah, that's how I feel. That's confirmation bias. That's just you and what's a political term we use? The cesspool, the cesspond, the crap, the swamp. It's you doing the same thing just in a different light. So not all facts point to the truth, but point to the truth, but facts will point to a truth. And those are a and the big words in those sentences. You need to look that up. Lastly, why should you care? Now, earlier I said, I don't care about some of this, and I don't. Here's what I care about. I care about false narrative. In the political arena, they call it fake news. Well, I don't know that it's fake news, but it's definitely biased news. It's spun in a way that will cause a person to want to listen, to engage, to confirmation bias. I put a post up this week because I hear these people all the time saying, Jesus was the first networker. And then I go like everybody else and I'm looking at their page and it's like, Jesus never had to recruit people. Jesus never had to put the spin on it. Jesus said, follow me. Matter of fact, it got so weird. Jesus, in one part in the Bible, and listen, I've been studying this stuff lately. In one place in the Bible, he says, you've got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Hello, how many of you going to follow somebody like that? Think about this for a minute. No spin, nothing there. He was as raw, and this is what he was doing. And when you put it all in context, his message was about love. When you put all this stuff in context of what the anti-people are doing and why you should care, is because if you don't know what their agenda is any more than you knew what the agenda of your upline or your megachurch pastor or whatever it is, then there's no accountability. And when there's no accountability, what ends up happening is people start to feel like they're the kings or they're the queens, and what they say rules, and all of their follows and all of their likes and all of their confirmation causes them to get out of whack, which means you're following somebody that's still leading you astray. So it matters what these people say. It matters because they sometimes will bring to light something that you as a person in a company or you as a person in a church should be studying. You should be saying, hey, is this something that should matter? One of the things this week did, I happened to be the lead elder at my church, and we had a meeting because I said, look, I'm seeing a lot of people inside the Christian community do the same thing that I'm seeing inside of the business community, inside of the political community. They're falling to their own sins. They're ending up having affairs. They're ending up preaching a false gospel. Just like the politicians will spin a story over here, but yet they're doing the same thing over here. We see income claims or healthcare claims being made all over the place. Regulators are getting involved. It doesn't matter what the industry is. We've seen this same crap going on, and it's a human nature situation. It's pride. It's greed. It's vanity. It's a lust for power. And it isn't isolated to a religious community or to an industry like network marketing or direct sales or a sales channel per se. It's not isolated to just one group. Critics are the same way. Critics get into business. They say, wow, man, look at this. I'm looking at Google Trends and anti-MLM is trending up. I need to go do some videos on it. And that's what happens. Or you find out they were in somebody's downline and they were dissing them, or they left them out in the cold. Or vice versa. You just see that they were out here doing their own thing and then somebody started attacking them. This is human nature. But the question goes back to the beginning. Why do you want to engage with them? See, so many times we are engaging with critics and we're doing it on the indefensible. And when you cannot defend your position because you've not done the own due diligence on your end, then all you do is open a door. I'll close with this because I see this a lot inside the Christian community. People will pull a verse out of the Bible that in the New Testament where it's very clear we need to be able to defend our faith. And a lot in the Christian community, it doesn't matter if they're Protestant, if they are Orthodox, if they're Catholic, here's what we end up doing. They think that verse means you have to defend the Bible. That's different than defending your faith. Defending the faith comes from inside. It comes from a belief. It comes from the same type of evidence that needs to be used in anything else. In the Bible, is the Bible defensible? There are definitely parts, especially the New Testament, which are very, very defendable because of the amount of record that we have, the actual evidence, the empirical evidence that we have of all these manuscripts that are in all these museums that date clear back to the earliest centuries. Now, when you look at the Old Testament, we can now say, look, we have all these old writings that we found. They call them the Dead Sea Scrolls. But here's what we don't have. We don't have the eyewitnesses in all of those cases. We don't have the historical evidence yet of all of those cases like we do the New Testament. So people get wrapped up trying to defend the indefensible. Well, God created the earth in 6 days. Well, was that six like legitimate days? Is that just a day is as a thousand years is a day. So does it sprout out? See what I'm saying? So when you're looking at the critics and you're wanting to engage with the critics, make sure you understand what your motive is in engaging. If you're starting to get emotional and you don't know why, don't engage. Figure out why you were just triggered to care. They're picking on my company. They're picking on my upline. Doesn't matter who they're picking on. You need to dig deep enough to say, is there any legitimacy to the facts? And if the answer to that is yes, then say, okay, now I need to go put the facts back in context so that I can understand what was happening, what was being said, what was being taught, what was posted, what was printed, what was whatever. Then you can either decide to engage, decide to help correct the situation, or move on, whatever the case may be. So there you go. You guys live life like it's an epic adventure. Stay dangerous, stay strong. And if you're a Main Street entrepreneur, act like it.